And you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, February the 20th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And it's a rumination day as we're trying to get a hold of Wes Reimnitz. And what we're going to be talking about are works of mercy. Works of mercy. And we're going to begin by talking about, always go to Wikipedia. Always go to Wikipedia. Why would you do that? Well, Wikipedia is kind of like a big encyclopedia on the internet. And almost every time I look to it, guess what? It's always wrong. And sure enough, here's what it says. The works of mercy or acts of mercy are actions and practices which Christianity in general expects all believers to perform and are a means of grace. What? They're a means of grace? You see, it's very clear in the scripture that they are not a means of grace. Because a means of grace saves you. And what we need to understand is we are not saved by that means of grace. I believe with us we have Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes. You on the line?
Yep, I'm on the line with you. How you doing?
Very good. We're talking about works of mercy. And I just noted to the listening audience that the Wikipedia says that works of mercy are a means of grace. Would you agree with that?
That's not very Lutheran, is it?
No, well, it's not very biblical.
Yeah, very biblical. As we teach means of grace, means by which God brings his grace, or if you use the acronym GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense.
Exactly. And apart from hearing the message of Christianity, namely the gospel, nobody could ever be saved. In other words, you could build a big house for everybody in Haiti right now, and nobody will come to faith because of that. But
right.
there is something about works of mercy that I particularly began to learn this week, especially in light of my Sunday school lesson with issues, etc. And we want to talk about that. But when we think of the motivation behind works of mercy, what do we often hear from pastors saying this is the motivation behind works of mercy?
Well, what's the motivation? You know, there's two levels that I think you have to look at. You have to look at the believers and the non-believers. There was an article written by our first vice president, Mueller, and he relates mercy as being right there in our Lord Jesus Christ because of his death and resurrection upon the cross.
So that the motivation would be out of our love for Jesus, we do works of mercy.
For the Christian, yes.
Well, the problem I have with that is that you can't preach that. You can't say to somebody, okay, when you're doing works of mercy, make sure you do it out of love for Jesus and not out of self-interest, because we don't have control over our motivation. In fact, you did something at your church that really surprised me. I walked in the last time I was there, and there was a table that was really filled with what I consider to be groceries. I thought it was going to be my payment for preaching and such, but what was all that?
Well, we do an annual food drive. We have what's called the Havana Food Pantry. And the Havana Food Pantry is the churches in town all gather together in one area, and we collect food. We do ours twice a year, because when I came, I asked, when were the low periods? And when you came back in January, February was a low period of collection. The other is right in July. And you often have people on what you call food cards. They call it the Lynx card here in Illinois. But you have a lot of people that don't quite qualify. And they can kind of slip through the cracks and just barely making it. And a monthly a trip to the food pantry helps gets them over the crisis for the short term. And we do it because we want to help out our fellow man. You know, that cup of cold water that Jesus talks about in Matthew 25, or in 2 Corinthians 8, you know, we give ourselves first to the Lord and then to others by our will then, you know. So our motivation is still Christ, what he's done for us, but we don't do it out of a sense that we're going to somehow get a larger place in heaven as a result of that.
The Reverend Ted Cray, who's Regional Director for Latin America and the Caribbean for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he was actually a son of my home pastor. I talked with him last week, but he gave a convention essay on July the 23rd, 2013, and he asked, what's the relationship between mercy and witness? How would you respond to that?
Well, witness, you talk about the faith. You know, Jesus says in Acts chapter 1 before his ascension, you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. Mercy, as he was defining it, was coming out of, he was doing his convention essay based on Luke 10 and the Good Samaritan, and who is my neighbor. And there was showing acts of kindness to somebody in need or in trouble, physical need or troubles that was there. And it's interesting because when you read Herb Mueller, our first vice president, he wrote an article towards a biblical theology of mercy. He widens that thing clear out. To not just only physical acts, but forgiveness, showing mercy to others by granting them forgiveness that's found again back at the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes, what he says is something I don't think a lot of people realize, especially if you look at Wikipedia. They consider works of mercy a means of grace. But the only means of grace is witnessing the gospel. So works of mercy are not a means of grace, but here's how he puts it. The church's work of mercy increases opportunities for witness. And that is really significant. He says in that other article that you were talking about, both proclamation and works of love, often done together, are part of the plan of God to make known his plan of love for all. Now, what I think he's talking about here is proclamation clearly makes known his plan because you're talking the gospel. But right. Works of love are also part of God's plan to make known his plan of love for all. Now, how does that come about? Well, I'm going to give the example. I believe it was in Sri Lanka. I've talked about this before after the tsunami, that the Lutherans went in there and started helping the people rebuild their homes, giving them food and clothing. And believing in karma, these folks couldn't understand why the Lutherans were doing that. There was nothing in it for the Lutherans. And so they would ask them, why are you doing this? And that gave the opportunity to share the gospel. The reason we're doing this is because God so loved us that he was merciful to us. And so we are merciful to you, which ended up with, I think, 3 or 4 new Lutheran churches. And as Dr. Mueller says, works of love will often prepare the way for the gospel to be proclaimed. Even though he makes it really clear that the primary work of the church is proclamation of the gospel and administration of the sacraments. But, and here's how he puts it. This is really neat. The God-given work of mercy demonstrates and puts a face on, so to speak, the love of God for the whole person. Now, I think that is significant because what he is saying here is that as we do works of mercy, these works of mercy are thought to be unusual on the part of those receiving them. because there doesn't seem to be a self-interest. And therefore, they ask us, why are you doing that? When Thanksgiving came around, we would give free turkeys and groceries to people in need, not only in our congregation, but also in the neighborhood. And I remember one of my elders, Carl Meineke, he always insisted that we just don't give the bag of groceries, but we always put a Christian tract in them in order that they might understand why we're doing that.
Right, we do something similar to that right around the Halloween time down at the local school. They have the kids come in and they give candy. Well, we do too, but one of the things we do is we put tracks in them. And
yeah, that's good.
As a method for outreaching.
Now, Herr Mueller backs up what he's saying with a thing from the Confessions. He says, the proclamation, and this is Apology 24, the proclamation of the gospel produces faith in those who receive the gospel. They call upon God. They do good works on account of the glory of Christ, and in this way the name of the Lord becomes great among the nations. In other words, the reason we do good works isn't to please God. That would be an ulterior motive. Not just out of thankfulness for God for what he has done us, but we want to open up the possibility of people giving glory to Christ. And the only way that comes about is that as we do these works of mercy, they ask us, okay, why are you doing this? And then it gives us the opportunity to share the message of Jesus Christ.
I would agree, because it really does think they're asking motivation for the believer is the mercy that Christ has shown to us. To the non-believer is, you know, I want somebody to do the same thing for me if I was having a problem.
If you'd like to phone us about this subject in St. Louis, it's 821-0850. 821-0850, or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, we've looked at the leadership of our synod. We've taken a look at the confessions. I'd actually like to bring in a Bible verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I think this really touches it pretty well. Paul is speaking about his mission work. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Now, it's that last phrase that I think is his reward, that more people might be won for Jesus. I looked up the word reward in the Greek. It's misthos. And yes, it does talk about dues paid for work, or our righteousness is the reward we receive through faith in Jesus. But they also have this meaning. The word is used of the fruit naturally resulting from toils and endeavors. In other words, a farmer goes out, he sows seed, and then something is growing, and that's his reward, is the fruit. It's really not something that he gets, but something that the plant produces. So that I think we really need to look at works of mercy in this way. The reason we do works of mercy is in order that others might be won for Christ. And therefore, our works of mercy need to be really unusual.
That I would agree with you, but on the other hand, you've got 2 Corinthians chapter 8 where it talks about great generosity. There are works of mercy that you just do, and it can even be to the household of faith, because there was that great collection that was being taken for the widows and orphans in Jerusalem. We believe that 2 Corinthians 8 was speaking to that, where the Macedonians wanted to be part of the collection.
I would also look at 1 Corinthians 9:22, where Paul talks about why he does works of mercy. To the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Now, I think that is a far higher motivation than simply, you know, helping out the needy. But let's go to the phone lines right now. It's at 8210850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we're talking to Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a question. I've noticed that churches will operate the government food pantries, and there they have a they're limited on their speech concerning the message of Christ. So I'm wanting you to comment on that, and I'll hang up.
Okay, thank you very much. Wes?
Again, the question was?
Well, if my view of doing works of mercy is to win people to Christ, what happens when you get involved in a government program where you don't have any opportunity to share the message? It would be like you taking your food pantry and simply giving it to a government consortium that distributes food, but also Jews are giving, Muslims, and even atheists.
Well, first of all, I probably wouldn't go with the government program, because it would limit my free speech in there. And it kind of mitigates against what I just talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the generosity that flows from the love of Jesus there. You know, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." As a Christian, again, it's back out of, and that probably fits into what you're talking about in terms of 1 Corinthians 9, of wanting to reach out with the gospel message. But we don't, you know, the Lord be praised that there are government programs that help out people. They can go use them. But I think for us, we're talking out of what we have.
Now,
when you read that, go ahead.
There would be some occasions, for instance, we have a lot of pro-life people, and they get involved with organizations where we might not have the opportunity to share the message, but there we would be doing an act of mercy in order to save a child. It goes back to what you said earlier, that acts of mercy can just be acts of mercy. We're just to do them. Our hope is that through them, there's an opportunity for witness, but it's not necessary that we only do acts of mercy, do you think, that only provide opportunities for witness?
No, I would agree with you. There are times where folks need that. I mean, just recently, I know just in my own life, I ran across a grandmother, a mother of, and a mother of three children, so there's a house of five. And my wife and I said, let's take them on and let's help them out for a while they get over some of their financial thing. Wasn't any look at whether I'm going to get a higher place in heaven or anything else. It was an act of mercy to reach out and help the family.
Yes. So you don't necessarily have to have the opportunity to witness. I'll tell you, one of the best statements I found was in the Lutheran Study Bible on page 1958, and it was in conjunction with this 1 Corinthians 9 passage. Here's what they said. Every aspect of our lives is to be adapted to the needs of others so that they may come to faith in Christ. Now, within the household of faith, when your kids were growing up, they were all at home with you, how did you start your meals each day?
We started with prayer.
That's right. And so you adapted the mealtime so that they might come to faith in Christ or grow in faith in Christ. So within the holy community of the Christian church, I think that is quite important. What I'm saying is that our lives ought to be adapted to the needs of those outside of the church so that they may come to faith in Christ. In other words, what I'm thinking is that our works of mercy need to be uniquely different than what people are receiving from those just in the world, so that they see a difference between the Christians' works of mercy and that of the world.
Yeah, which, you know, wasn't long ago, a person called up and said that they would like some help, and I asked them, are you a Christian? And they go, yes. And I said, well, I said, I think you need to go to your home church and ask them, and I'm sure that they'll take care of you, and if not, come see us. In another instance, they said, no, we're not Christian. And I said, fine. I said, you can come here. I said, we'll help you out. Not only will we help you out, but we'll adopt you and take care of you and help you back onto your feet.
That's excellent.
All they wanted was the money.
Yeah, but you know, right. That's kind of interesting. Ted Cray, in his particular item, is talking about that, where he knew that some people had come to his church and the other members of the church knew they just went around to the churches and got money. And he had to make a decision whether he was going to give it to them or not. And what he did is he did give them some money because the gospel is radical. He gave some examples like the Samaritan woman Jesus met at the well. She wasn't talking to Jesus because she really was interested in hearing what Jesus said. But he kept talking to her until she became so interested that here he was just talking about a drink of water, and it brought to faith the whole Samaritan village.
I think you really are right on target. That's one of the things we do here is we sit down and talk with them. Some will say, no, we want is some money. Others will say, we'd like to talk to you a little bit further about this. And we don't turn them away. If they don't have a church home and they're not believers, says, yeah, we'll help you out. You know, and I would agree with Cray. You should err on the side of mercy and try and reach out and help them.
And that's what makes the Christian radical, because a lot of times, you know, people don't recognize that. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. I have a few minutes left and talk with Holly. Hi, Holly.
Good morning, Pastor Baker.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have something exciting, I think, to share with you. Our Women's Guild at our church is affiliated with the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and we have a service project to the homeless. It's making plastic mats out of recycled plastic bags, and we advertise in the local newspapers encouraging people to help us with this project. And somebody from the Springfield, Illinois newspaper got a hold of that little blurb, and she did an article about our plastic mat ministry. And the exciting thing is, she supposedly is a Christian woman, and this is, if I could just take a minute to tell you what she actually wrote about our project in the newspaper.
Go ahead.
And it says, she indicates, we roll in the plastic mat, which is rolled up. We have a New Testament paperback, large print Bible, and this is what she said about it. This is a quote from the person that she interviewed. Our group is part of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. That, of course, is an outreach to people, particularly with the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Part of this is the Christian service. It's not just service to humanity, but we really want to share with people the love of Jesus for them, and hopefully that will impact some of these people with those Bibles. I thought it was an exciting way that to get the message out, that this went out to, you know, X number of people through the newspaper.
You couldn't have given, in my view, and I think Wes will agree with me here, a better example of what we're trying to say, that whoever thought that through plastic mats, the message of Jesus Christ would get out, and perhaps, you know, some will come to faith in that. I really appreciate that, Holly.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Baker.
Okay, God bless. Wes, any response?
I would agree with her. she mentioned that they were parts of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, which is part of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Our women are always looking for ways. There's the orphan grain chain train. There's quilts. There's all kinds of different ways that they're trying to reach out. They support both our seminaries in raising out pastors to go forth, or teachers in scholarship funds. There's, can't say enough good things about our LWML.
Lutheran Women's Missionary. I certainly appreciate that. And guess what? It's time to close. So thank you very much, Wes.
Yep.
And what's your services on Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 7:45 and 10:15 at the corner of Pearl and Market Street in Havana, Illinois.
Thank you very much. God willing, we'll be with you tomorrow for an open mic where you can talk about any theological subject on your mind. I'm Tom Baker. Until tomorrow, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.